welcome back to another Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast brought to you by our title sponsor, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. Whether it's tractors, mowers, utility vehicles, construction, or farm equipment, Kubota's got you covered. Now with 9 locations across the state of South Dakota, there's always a dealer nearby. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Jackrabbit podcasts are also sponsored by Culver's of Brookings in Watertown, the home of the Butterburger, Jackrabbit Central, the best place to get your Jack's gear, and the best sports bar in South Dakota, Cubby Sports Bar and Grill. Without further ado, here is the A-Team.
All right, the A-Team, the Jackrabbit Illustrated A-Team is back and on time, and we are here with you tonight, recapping a huge win over Mercer, looking ahead to Villanova. We don't care that the big boys pod is going on right now. Those guys are on our time slot. Don't care. Stick with us. Don't watch them. Chad, Dallas, how the heck you guys doing?
I'm doing well. Struggling against a cold, but otherwise well.
I'm good. Had a super busy weekend. Just barely got back in time to get going here. Was at my, I don't know how many hockey games of the weekend. Just got back from Rochester. Dark drive. Weird night. I don't know if it's like that where you guys are at right now, but it's like, it isn't cloudy, but it just like oppressive. Like it felt like the headlights didn't work, but anyway, made it back safely. Hudson's team won. We're good.
Cool. Hey, yeah, kind of like job. A low level cloud Hudson. with like a bit of moisture in it that you can't see on radar because it's been like that all day here. Packers scored again. Apparently I take it.
They did. Yeah. Packers scored again. Yeah. Yep. Here we come. Watch out.
We're having our hometown Christmas in Hartford, which is just north of our house. So we hear the fireworks, the first one, and then we run into our kitchen and watch out the window. We could see all the ground stuff, but the stuff that went up just disappeared.
So. Yeah, all right. Hold on. Speaking of, I've got some controversy here. Speaking of stuff up in the sky, on the drive back, everybody else in the car was, you know, the family was all on devices and I'm like, guys, look up. There was this line of lights.
Starlink.
What's that?
Starlink.
So here's the deal though. I've seen that before. I don't know.
They changed the pitch of them so you can't see them as often now. So I think they look different when you do.
So this was like 12 to 15 lights and it didn't move and then it disappeared. Well, so I know what you're talking about. I've seen that before. This, and because we discussed it and we're like, oh, it's the satellites and they spread out and whatever. But this was like, and it was perfectly vertical. And it was 12 to 15. Tammy, you're full of it. And... And it was, and we sat and we looked at it and it did, because I've seen that before. And when I've seen it, it moves across the sky a little bit. And this was there. And I mean, it just, we were watching and watching and then it was just gone. So.
Ooh.
Well, at least you didn't get
a UFO, Dallas?
I don't know. It was bizarre. It really was. I don't know. We'll go with it. It was either Santa or something, but.
Could be Santa, you know, or reindeer. Of course, yeah. He's moving too though. So that doesn't really explain it.
Nope. It's all controversy.
All right. So in this week's episode of What Did Matt Do With His Kubota Tractor This Week, I can say nothing, but I do feel like I kind of jinxed it because the 2 days after I put my snowblower on, it snowed here and it melted. It's all gone, but kind of made me want to take it off again just because I don't know. I'm not ready for snow. Are you guys ready for snow? Yeah, but if you would like to be more ready for snow, go find one of the 9 Kubota dealers of South Dakota, one near you, and find the implement that's going to help you move the snow for your yard, acreage, business, whatever it may be. So check them out. So yeah, let's get on to the game. Oh, Chad, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, there might be even one close to you when you live in Minnesota, like Matt, or Nebraska, or Iowa.
Yeah, yeah. So I still went with the one from Watertown, though, you know.
Of course.
Yeah, taking care of the guys, the sponsors there. So, all right, Jackrabbits, 41-0 win. Incredible business-like. Just a game that was never in doubt. Personally, if this is the third best team in the SoCon, maybe second best, right? Second best, probably. it just does still show the gap that's there between the Big Sky and Missouri Valley, in my opinion, and everybody else. Any thoughts on that initially?
I mean, there's really nothing. I was amazed that you found one rant, and I've already forgotten what it was, because I mean, that was an absolutely
two turnovers.
That's right. That's what it was. Yeah, no, that's fair too. But yeah, there was really nothing. I mean, they got warmed up quick. I tweeted out, didn't get a chance to watch the whole game. I was in the car and going to games and stuff, but between watching, listening, what a dominant performance. Anyway, I tweeted out that right away the chain gang was immediately just wrecking dudes and dominating the line of scrimmage. As it does, it took the O-line a little bit to get going, but that I forget if it was Zim, if you said it, Matt, but it was just the body shots turned into knockout blows. And that's not an uncommon thing, but, I don't know. It was great to see. I'm sure we can get into all of it here, but some of my favorite parts were obviously the twos and threes getting reps at the end, quality reps. That was super cool. Before I forget, my favorite thing on Tyler's call that I could tell listening how dominant of a defensive performance it was, there was a play where it was Tyler called out, it was a tackle by Dyshon Gales, and I think whoever was playing nose at the time was in on the same tackle. And when you hear that, you know that your defense is just destroying the other team.
Yeah. Yeah. It, score prediction. Kurt, what are you talking about? We were all fairly close on our score predictions, besides Chad had a little more confidence in the Mercer offense, but that's okay. But yeah, that is one thing that I want to talk about.
I'm sorry, guys. I doubted. I gave him a touchdown. I had 42-7, didn't I? Did you write him down?
Yeah. Yep, you had 42-7. I had 38-7. Chad had 42-21. So
I just, I don't want that bulletin board material out there. So
on Chad's prediction there, I was disappointed in Harper and Ty James. Like, yeah, those two were hyped up across all places there. And maybe they are that good. But yeah, exactly. Maybe our secondary is just that good, because Ty James had nothing. He had 2 for 28, and 26 of them came on one play. Harper, we didn't even see anything from, really. So I don't know. Our secondary is just phenomenal. Freeman's hit. I was standing on the sidelines for that, just probably 10 yards away. Man, that you can tell PV popped up and was just like, oh shit, I'm not gonna be able to run over these guys. Like,
oh no, this is what this is gonna be like.
Yeah, you could just see it kind of in his body language and stuff. So yeah.
And what Steve Anderson talks about here, the hit by 89, which is one of our future tight ends, Gormley. Why can't I say
Gormley.
His name?
Brody Gormley.
Brody Gormley. That was that guy. Almost, he's got to get my special team player of the week just for that. Like, I get that it probably should go to our kicker because he's amazing and he's always amazing, but yeah, that was something.
Yeah,
it was.
Go ahead, Dallas. Sorry,
I was gonna say, just talking about second, third string getting reps and also special teams, hearing some of the names called, it gets you really excited for the future. Obviously we have, great things to come this season yet, but getting to hear some of those names, seeing them get excited, make plays, all that stuff translates, the special team stuff, it just getting used to making plays, getting on the field, gaining confidence. And yeah, it's a cool glimpse of stuff to come. Jalen Lee. I'm so excited to watch him play.
Yeah.
He's talking about someone that just, that's been there putting in the time, great athlete, just kind of patiently waiting his turn. I'm real excited for him.
Yeah. Him and Aiden Dotterman getting that interception.
Yes.
Dotterman's just built. I mean, Dotterman is just looks like a kind of a specimen out there.
Yep.
Miles Taylor getting a lot of run at quarterback or cornerback and playing well. So those three, once Dyshon is obviously moving on, Dallas next year will be done. But man, the cornerback room is bright. Bright future, that's for sure.
Matt, what was that other, not Ty James, the other guy's name I'm struggling with?
Harper, the little one, Harper.
So Harper, yep. Yeah, he's a smaller guy, and he's had a good season as well. He was the guy returning the kicks, right? And that first one, he got smacked on, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like Jason Dorman's pointing out here, he went out of bounds early, could have got a first down, I think. I think he was afraid mm-hmm. to get smoked again, honestly. I honestly watched that and went, he's a little bit shell-shocked, I think.
Same. I turned to the fam and said, he is going to get yelled at so bad. And I was thinking after the game, and the coach turned and barked at him immediately. Like, that was, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you get in the heat of the game, whatever, not to make excuses for the kid, but, you know, your brain sometimes just shuts off, and it happens. And mm-hmm. Yuri instinctually didn't want to get killed. That could be it, too.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. Couple guys, you know, to point out individually. I really like what Zach Wilson has been doing lately from defensive end.
Yes.
I feel like he's had, you know, 4 or 5 games in a row where we've mentioned him as, you know, just kind of a clean shot on the quarterback, you know, bending that edge. And that's one of the things that, you know, whether it's Coach Smith before, and now the current coach have talked about, just his flexibility and ability to kind of bend that edge. If he can come in and get kind of a zooped up pass rush like that from time to time, that's really awesome.
Does he have 2 left?
He just has 1.
Yep. Just 1 left is all? Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I mean, you got to assume. I mean, he's in the rotation. We see him quite a bit, but his explosiveness off the line, he can be extremely elusive, and he's got some pop. He's got some juice to him. So, I mean, get, you know, another year in the weight room, get him some more, you know, increase the reps even a little bit more next year, and he's going to keep doing great stuff.
Yeah. Jim pointing out Dante Johnson on kickoff coverage. Dante has been a menace since he got healthy this year. He's been awesome on kick coverage. And that's exciting just for his future at safety as well. And we have some damn good ones in that safety rotation too, but I think we're going to start seeing him a little more part of that.
That's a long one to read, but thanks. Yeah. Thanks,
Kurt. Thanks, Kurt. That's nice. Isaiah. Oh God, we are how far into this? We've been talking 13 minutes in and we have not talked about playoff Zay yet. What in the world?
Yeah, we were going to get to it.
We got lots of people to talk about. You know, we got to spread the love. It gets, you know, you can't just repeat yourself,
you know?
Yeah. So what was the actual statistic again? I had it in Rants and Raves, but it needs to be shared because it's just that good. I'm going to pull it up.
Well, I don't know, a million touchdowns and a billion yards or something like that.
Well, yeah, you look it up. Oh, you got it. All right.
199 carries, 1,592 yards, which is 8 yards per carry, and 19 rushing touchdowns in 13 crazy games. 13
and this is against games. The best of the best.
Supposedly, yep. Right?
So, I'd like to know what his stats against NDSU are in the playoffs. Anyway,
yeah, playoffs Zay, that a baby. Yep. 605 Hogs, though. I mean, right, you Dallas, you mentioned this, you know, kind of the early on, it was like, what the hell is going on here? But it's what we've seen in the past. It's these body blows, right? Over and over and over again. And then that late second quarter hits, third quarter hits, and these, you know, 3-yard runs start to become 40-yard runs, right? So it just is kind of crazy how it just works. There's such a recipe for it.
It is. And this is, I feel gross every time I say this, but how much does this team feel like some of the Fargo Cow teams of a few years ago? I mean, built the same way, ridiculous defense. You know, the game may not jump out to a 21-point lead in the first quarter, but all of a sudden you turn around and it's 30-0. Mm-hmm. And that it's the same. You said it's a recipe. It's the exact same recipe, and it works, and it's so fun.
Yeah. And Jimmy kind of commented on that in the post game, you know, with him saying, as long as I'm the head coach here, we're going to play good defense and we're going to run the ball. And we're not going to put up these oodles of points or whatever he said.
Sold.
But, yeah, sold.
Although 41 isn't oodles.
Yeah, right.
It is by most standards.
Yeah.
How lucky are we with Mark Gronowski at quarterback too, though? Like his shovel pass, that was mm-hmm. like classic Brett Favre stuff. And I'm not comparing him to
Brett Favre. So hold on. Was that the one that looked like
he was going to get sacked?
But wasn't that, wasn't, weren't they setting up a really kind of a law, a slow delayed screen? Is that the one?
I think
it was I didn't see that live. Did you?
There
see
was
that live?
One that the announcer said, "Oh, you know, basically, like, oh, look at the creativity; it's amazing." And I said the same thing, and my son actually, Hudson, goes, "No, that was just kind of a botched looking screen pass that took him a little bit to get it off." And I didn't run it back, so it might, I don't know if it's the same one you're talking about or not. I mean, either way, great play, super athletic, completed something where it looked like he was going to get sacked. I'm not trying to take away from him there, but it might have been partially designed.
Yep. It could be. I mean, they had some fast guys, so I mean, potentially they read it well.
I didn't love how much we ran him. You know, that could have been a rant. He had 11 carries. I didn't love that. He took a couple shots. Again, nothing terrible, but I don't know. I'd like to keep him as healthy as possible.
Save that. Yeah. There's no reason to push that when we got as many capable ball carriers as we do, unless we get forced into it in some kind of some game gets squirrely.
Yep. I want to publicly praise Chad for a second here.
Me? It's not just me.
Good job, Chad.
So Chad, Ben, and Brendan, and Phil, and Eric of the Hair Raisers have done a terrific job of organizing tailgating and the book club. And yesterday was awesome, and they were so hospitable to people. We had a Mercer Bear fan. We had parents. We had new listeners, old listeners that we just met. Coming in, Chad was giving out pudding shots. I was his pudding shot elf. and we were raising money for Alex's lemonade stand. And Chad, Chad, can you comment on that or tell the people a little bit about?
Yeah, so we had a lot of people just come up and donate straight away because they heard it on the B Team podcast. You know, wow, those guys have kind of taken the ring as well. You know, taking over and helped me with that. And you know, we had raised the past couple of games $200 each game. So the 212, 220, I think, were the two numbers. I don't recall offhand. We had some very generous donations. We got to meet some new people because of it. Shout out to the Brockies. And $550. Well, $549, but I'm going to put a dollar in. So that's pretty insane. I'll be making that donation tonight. I was pretty overwhelmed by that. That I don't know what to say. Like, I'm just making some stupid pudding with some rum chata in it. And we're just trying to raise money. I mean, I had someone tell me that they had a family member right now who has a child that had an issue with cancer on their heart. And, you know, it meant a lot that someone was raising money for kids with cancer to help the families and help them get the treatment they need, because that person got fixed. You know, that kid's doing better now because they were able to take care of it. So, it's great. Come on over to our tailgate. I don't care if my beer cooler goes dry by the end. In fact, that makes it lighter to load. So come on over. I won't tell you not to drink my beer, even if it's one that I was hoping to have. So, I'll probably give you one before you ask for one.
Can confirm.
Yeah, well, almost all my Staghorn got drank, Dallas. So I got to hold some back for you, I guess. But apparently I'm going to be dressed up as Pudding Shot Santa next week in a blue Santa suit, I guess. Because, of course, we wouldn't have a red one.
This is a bad idea, right?
Why? Why?
Well, because so you guys always talk about being superstitious on the B Team, right? Brennan talks about wearing the same shirt and the same underwear for 18,000 games in a row. Like, and now you want to switch up your outfit. You are known as one of the guys in the bibs and the hard hat that makes a ton of noise. I don't think this is a good idea for you to switch your outfit.
I can call Ben out for making me change my pudding shot recipe and adding more rum chata. All I could taste was rum chata. So I'm going back to the old recipe. Tough luck, bud.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I don't think this is a good idea. Seeing the fathead comment from Dakota Mayhem here.
Mathead comment?
So this week, I haven't done much of this Alex Lemonade stand. So if you come to the tailgating spot, take a picture of me with the fat head and post it on social with the Jackrabbit Book Club tagged. So you got a couple things there to do. I will donate $1 for every one of those pictures that ends up on.
You should put Twitter. A cap on that because that went really fast for us last week.
At $100. So at $100. So there we go. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Should we do some game balls? Yeah. Tailgating starts at 6 a.m. this week, folks. I don't care what it says. 6 a.m.
All right. Did they not think about that? So what we're getting at is they had 8 a.m., right, listed in the article, which makes zero sense. 11 a.m. kickoff.
Right.
By the time you get set up, get going, you have to tear down, get into the stadium. I mean, you're talking 90 minutes of tailgating?
Yeah. But
come on. Somebody didn't proofread that.
Agreed.
That might be, though. Didn't they try and do that to us last year? And Brandon had a rant on it. He's like, I'm showing up at 6. I don't care. They could try and drag me out of there. I feel like that happened.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, Brendan commented there, said Santa can wear bibs. I think that makes sense. I think we can have a best of both worlds.
Well, he can let him just wear. He can wear the Santa suit at tailgating, but he has to put on his bibs to go to the game.
I'm glad you get to dictate my wardrobe,
dude. It's in your contract. You didn't read it.
Contract. Next thing you know, I'm going to be wearing a Speedo at the last game.
You should have read closer. He's got power of attorney too.
Ain't nobody want to see that, for the record. No matter how much money you raise, I don't think anyone wants to see that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Brendan, bring the fat head. Thank you. All right. Let's game balls. Dallas, from what you caught offensively, who would you give a game ball to?
It's hard not to give it to the O-line. I know that's what you did too. Clearly you've got two, almost three backs going for 100. But it's tough just not to say offensive line in general, and I did not watch close enough to pick one specific guy out. So, 605 Hogs, you guys absolutely killed it. Good job.
But quit getting false start penalties. Anyway.
Yeah, I wonder what that was, because it was two on O'Brien, right? Who clearly has played a
Bernstein, wasn't it? Or no,
two and over.
And dude's played a billion snaps of football, so it's not like he forgot when the ball is being snapped. Like you wonder, there's something was going on there that isn't just an accident, probably.
Well, Brendan and I
like
won
a game.
Yeah, he does. That is his MO. He just does.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll live with it. He does well otherwise.
He does well. Yeah. Brendan and I were talking. We think that it was, their guys seem really fast off the ball. And so maybe he was just trying to maybe get that half a jump back.
You know what? O'Brien's quick twitch. Sometimes when you cock and load in the stance, sometimes you just pop out.
And maybe he's playing 3D chess because, you get away with that half a second extra. It's an advantage. Until they take it away from you.
Yep. All right, Chad. So you disagree with us that it should be offensive line.
Well, yeah.
Who are you taking then?
Who am I taking? Yeah. I'm giving my game ball to Angel Johnson because his run was amazing.
I love it.
And he deserves some praise. Put some respect on that boy's name.
You know what? He does. Thank you. And back to guys I'm excited to watch in the future. I know I've said this about 50 times, but if you pick one person on that team that passes the get off the bus test and just the build and what that dude looks like, man, he is intimidating.
So it's funny. Miles and I were watching the highlights, eating breakfast this morning, and that pops up, and Miles goes, oh, wow. Whoa. And like,
that's awesome.
Just tracking. I was kind of watching out of the corner of my eye, and just his comments is great. So, all right, defensively, Chad, who'd you go with?
It's between Freeman and Dyshon, but Dyshon was cutting guys in half. He was playing. Dyshon played so well this game. I'm giving it to Dyshon. Not that Freeman didn't deserve it, but Dyshon gets my ball.
Yep. Who did I go with? Did I go with Stallbird or Freeman? Yeah,
I was going to go Freeman. I don't remember who you had.
They're both ridiculous. So yep. Either way, I'm fine with it if it's Stallbird or Freeman or Daishon. I don't. They're all great.
It was. And again, back to the very beginning, you could just see the way the tone was going to go because of the defensive line and just the way. And I don't know that I could pick out one guy in particular there, but I mean, they were just meeting in the backfield every single play all day. And, you know, you feel on one hand that, you know, bravo, you know, to Mercer, best season in school history. They've only been around now for 10 years, right? They won a playoff game. They're in the playoffs. They had to come through the buzzsaw, you know, the best team in the country. How about that coach? Did you guys watch the... Oh, man, I played for that guy.
Everything he said.
Oh, yeah. Like, good. Yeah. Like, it just feels culture-wise, great job. You know, you look around that locker room afterwards, and there's a lot of guys, you know, heads hanging because that sucks. I mean, what did we hold him to? 150 yards, and a quarter of it was on a damn fake punt. Like, I mean, that was an absolute – what's that?
A third of it. Sorry.
Tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. But, I mean – complete beat down, heads hung. But I mean, hopefully they can give it a day, lick their wounds and feel good about that. And I genuinely think that's a team we're going to see making some deep playoff runs pretty quick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It, you know, I loved his comments that he had with the players when he addressed them, the media. The thing I worry about is these teams from the Southeast, like the coaches just change over. It's like, crazy, and you've already seen it kind of down there with the coach that went from Gardner Webb to East Tennessee, right? So
yep.
It's just it's kind of too unfortunate because I feel like there could be some good programs down there, but they're not. So Jamal, there we go. Mark, nice. Yeah, special teams. You know, we've talked about Brody, we've talked about Dante. The coverage units were just awesome. Matt Durant's down there again. It's fun to see just these. There's so much talent on this team. So I give it to the kick coverage units because they just were outstanding against Harper, who came in with some great averages. So, yeah. And game balls were presented by Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill in Brookings. Again, a great place to watch the games. Go in. Get a drink before and after the game. This next week's going to be awesome because you'll be able to go to the SDSU game, enjoy it. You can tailgate beforehand, and then after the game, go to Cubby's and watch the other games on the screens there, and get some food, get some drink. If I was going to Cubby's, you know, I'd probably get a bacon cheeseburger and waffle fries. That's just kind of my jam there. But I know the Chislik's good. Yeah, you really can't go wrong at Cubby's, in my opinion.
Do you waffle fries? Do you get cheese sauce they with don't waffle have fries?
I don't. Nope. I just like the plain.
Oh, okay.
Plain waffle fries. Yep.
I'm a big nacho cheese sauce with waffle fries.
On the side or on the fries? Just
on the side. On the side.
Much better that way, in my opinion. So,
yep.
Interesting.
Don't want them sogging up your taters.
No, I mean, that's the best part about a good waffle fry, right? Like, there's so many, like, crispy parts.
Right.
If yeah, hungry exactly.
Go to Cubby's.
All right. Let's turn our attention to Villanova. And so, obviously, we have seen Villanova a couple times in recent playoffs, the most recent being the 2021 season with Chris Oladokun. When the Jacks went out there and played them and came away victorious, 35-21. It's a game that the Jacks trailed 21-14 at halftime. And it's a game that in that first half, our secondary got absolutely torched, by two of the same players that are still playing and two of their leading receivers, Pringle and Hayek. Yeah. So that's something to watch. That they have some skill on offense. They will sling it around the yard, and they have a trio of backs that are really, really good. So offensively, this is kind of a fun stat that got thrown out against Youngstown. They have 70 – early third quarter, they had 70 plays this season of 20-plus yards. So explosive plays, big time in this one. Yep, we lost play. Yep, Pierre Strong got hurt early, but Isaiah Davis went off. So, yeah, kind of nuts.
You know, that's something that jumped off the page to me when they're playing Youngstown. And I don't know if it was as much. It was hard to tell. They were getting huge chunk plays, right? But partially because they were a great offense, you know, or a good offense at least, and partially because Youngstown's defense just looked like straight garbage in that game. You mentioned Pringle. You know, he's a top 15 receiver in the FCS. I mean, guy's a stud. Their quarterback, what's his name? Connor Watkins, I think.
Yeah. Watkins, yeah. Yep. He's a good ball player.
He's a great ball player. He reminds me a lot of Mark. He's got the same build. He runs like Mark.
You stole my notes.
He manages really well. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You
talk. No. Go ahead. I'm joking.
No, I mean, just the way he plays is eerily similar. I mean, obviously, I take Mark, but I think Mark is maybe a little better. But that kid's got a lot of talent. He's got a nice deep ball. He's known for his deep ball. So our secondary may get tested again. You know, they did excellent against Mercer, obviously, but, you know, they like to read option a lot, you know, and he can run with his legs. And if you're not keeping gap sound, you know, assignment sound football on defense, he's going to gash you for like 20 to 30. He's really quick for a big dude. And if he decides to put his head down, he's going to truck a DB at 6'5 or 6'3 225. He's a pretty good sized dude.
Those Chad, those are a lot of the exact same thoughts that I had. And you're right that just in terms of you just watch the tape, and he absolutely will remind you of Mark. And some of it is also in just his style of play with, you mentioned a good deep ball, very accurate in the mid-range game, and can torture with your legs if he wants to, and doesn't make a ton of mistakes. So he's, you know, the offense obviously starts and ends with him. And back to the run game, my thought is, you know, it's obviously you got 8 seed, 1 seed coming into our house. This is where we talked about, hey, why in the hell did we run Mark? Well, if you're the 8 seed going to the 1 seed, you've got nothing to lose. You got a quarterback that can run. I would run the piss out of him. I think that you get some of those, you know, you talked about the wide receiving core too. Get some of those fast guys, just streak him down the field, run a bunch of deep routes, some crossing, or, you know, deep out, open up the middle, give him, you know, 2.5, 3 seconds, and then just go. And that's, and to me, that's a recipe for giving us trouble this game.
Yep. I know you guys said that he doesn't make a ton of mistakes, but he has tossed 9 interceptions this year.
Yeah.
And I thought there were a few more balls in that Youngstown game that could have been picked. You know, I thought the refs got a little ticky-tacky with Youngstown secondary on some of those plays, on some of the pass interferences. So I like if we get some pressure on him. You know, he floated a couple. I think our safeties will make plays where maybe Youngstown didn't personally.
Youngstown's just a dirty ass team. I'll say it out loud. They were doing dirty shit
just
the whole game to them, just like they did to us. It's probably because they don't belong on the same field. No, I
don't. Why did that? I was disappointed. I may or may not have lost a couple of dollars on Youngstown this last week.
Dollars? Oh, okay.
I said, I lost a couple dollars. I was fighting a burp. I took a drink and then I started talking and I made a mistake. I'm sorry, Matt.
I thought you said I lost our producer, daughters.
Our producer can edit this. I was joking, trying to not be rude and go into the mic. So anyway, yeah, I lost a couple of bucks on Youngstown. I thought they were coming on there at the end of the season a bit, and clearly not. Their helmet game is strong as hell still, but other than that, not impressed.
Did you see the banner across the back?
What did it say?
It says, "We can play because you basically because you fought for us." So it's
You fought. Sorry, I remember seeing the "We can play," and like, man, what does that say? And then I don't know, the clips I watched, they never showed the right half of the helmet, so
I had to pause it when I had one shot to see it. Steve Anderson asked about Nova's line. Well, let me tell you a little something. They're not small.
Yeah,
they're missing one of their best dudes. They go from left to right. They go 315, 315, and their center's small, I guess, 305, 320, 310. So
Jesus,
the first, mm-hmm. the first play from scrimmage, I went, "Ooh, that boy's not small."
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a bit different than Mercer. That's for sure. Just line size.
Okay. Yeah.
But they have allowed 23 sacks this year. So Youngstown was able to get some pass rush, but you know, we've seen this exactly. Steve Anderson's here. So they are slow. so we've seen this right from the CAA teams before. You know, the last couple times Delaware has come, these mammoth offensive lines that just can't move. So that's something to watch. I don't know. These guys do appear more athletic than that, but still 23 sacks this year. That's quite a few for this time of the year. I want to flip to their defense. We've had a couple questions on their defense. Yep. Dallas, yeah?
Oh, no, sorry. I was reacting. You put up Kenny's. I wasn't reacting to you. I was reading Kenny's remark that they put up about getting Zach Hines involved more, and I'd forgotten that actually I wanted to rant about that because you looked – again, just eyeball test. He lined up in that game against Mercer, and I went, oh, my God, he could catch 25 passes this game down the seam, and they couldn't do anything about it. And, yeah, that was a little bit, I don't know, a little disappointing.
With Chase Mason in the game, one got thrown a little behind him. So we did try to get him the ball once. Steph David Fisher asks if they still run a 3-3-5 defense. Yes, they do. They frequently bring a linebacker up as kind of a fourth man, and they like to blitz a lot. Matt probably can talk more about that. I'll probably let, because you got something you want to say about it. So go ahead.
So that 3-3-5 defense, right? Whoever commented before, like, you know, we've sliced and diced them, or, you know, just that odd man front lately. We've been doing really well on it. This again was one of Isaiah's breakout games. He had 25 attempts for 174 yards and 3 touchdowns against these guys after Pierre went down. And this run defense statistically is maybe a little worse than that was in 2021. You know, it's tough to compare years, but it's about actually a 20 yard difference. They were just allowing 91 yards on the game 2 years ago, and it's about 111, 112, I think, now. So that's kind of interesting. One player that I want to point out is 55, Jake Reichwin. He's actually a transfer from Holy Cross and gave us fits last year, if you remember. He finished with 7 tackles, a sack, and a quarterback hit last year for Holy Cross. Grad transferred to Villanova, had a very nice season for them. He's, you know, like 5th in total tackles. He has, I believe, like 4.5 sacks for him on the year. So he's a good player. He's someone who's played against us now. This will be his 3rd game against us in his career. So someone to definitely watch on that defensive line is 55, Reichwin.
And something else to note, they do kind of a line change like we do a defensive line. So they do bring in fresh legs. That will help them, certainly, because a lot of teams don't do that. However, if we're getting big chunk plays, going to be hard to do that. So, just another thing to keep an eye on that they do that's similar to what we do. I don't think they bring 3 different sets of D linemen like we might, but.
No, you're right. They don't have the depth that we do, but I mean, that's going to keep it. It really, you know, you think about just number of reps getting worn down. And at that point it's, you know, you're getting maybe in the 4th quarter is when that really starts to separate. Cause it maybe it sounds like common sense, but it really is that there's just a finite amount of time where you start to see that kind of shine through the same way that, again, we talk about, you know, kind of the body blows with the offensive line where you just kind of chip away. And then all of a sudden all these giant plays come. You're like, why aren't we doing this all along? Well, it's just, you know, the game within a game, people get worn down, you know, Division I athletes, they're all well conditioned, but you know, you add the physicality onto that of the, physicality on the line within there and how big and strong most of those guys are. And eventually it takes a toll. Now, when you've got, you know, 2 sets, you line change twice on the defensive line. Maybe that gets you into the 3rd quarter. half, two-thirds of the way through the third quarter. Then you get to the fourth quarter. At that point, you know, that's when a really good offensive line really takes hold and can just kind of end the game.
Mm-hmm. In my opinion, this could be a good game for Hines, though. Again, I know we've talked about him a lot. Brendan Bell, their middle linebacker. In my opinion, he looks best probably moving forward, crashing the line of scrimmage, playing the run, you know, looking to get those tackles for loss. He's a little shorter. I think there's going to be some opportunities up the seam on him, you know, some hard play action, that kind of stuff. I know that's not traditionally maybe Hines's game is that seam, so maybe more of a Mike Morgan play. I don't know, but there's going to be some opportunities there.
Watching that game, it looked like the seam was very open. The center of the field, those underthrows. I mean, we hit the Yankees for those, and I don't know if their DBs never watch tape, these guys that we play, because he does that same curl in every time and gets an extra 5 yards. So don't watch it. Don't pay attention. It works really well.
When you've got something like a 3-3-5, so, you know, you're sending weird combinations of people trying to confuse the defense and or the offense and the offensive line, which we know that is solid as we are, that doesn't really matter. But what that does is it opens up windows in the middle of the field, just like you're saying, Chad. So, you know, as our coaching staff and GAs and everybody's breaking down film, they're looking at different sets, different tells to see that, okay, we see this, we're going to motion, we know this guy's probably coming, this is going to open up a pocket, and then that's where Mark knows, all right, here's the play, here's the combination, this is going to be, you know, 8 yards, going to be a giant pocket around Zach, that sort of thing. So that I don't know, I guess all I'm getting at is against an odd, you know, an odd front like that, that they send different combinations, you're going to see that in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, watching them against Youngstown too, they blitzed quite a bit. They got 3 sacks. It's an interesting game matchup wise, just because they're so unique. This 3-3-5 is a little different. They will bring someone down and play a 4-man front at times. But 3-3-5 is what they live in. So
It's fairly situational too. If you watch it, they bring that linebacker up in, you know, first and second downs where it's more obvious run plays. And then they drop back on a more obvious pass play, which is how you play that. So, but to the people that haven't like quite caught that. So
yeah. Pull up Scott Rust here. This comment that he just has, is there a chance Villanova brings a different defensive scheme to stop the run? I don't think so at this point in the year. And this is what they've ran for years, like this 3-3-5. So, man, it's one of those things you kind of got to, you know, go with the guns that got you there. I don't know. Is that an applicable phrase in this?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And then my other thought, too, is if you're scheming for the South Dakota State team, we've seen teams sell out to stop the run, and Mark can go off for 350 if he needs to. So, to me, I mean, do you really – you probably just do the best you can and play your normal defense. I don't know that I would, you know, try to get too cute and do anything different.
Yeah. Well, guys, should we do some predictions and then maybe look around the rest of the bracket?
Oh yeah. Bracket.
All right. All right. So let's do some predictions here. Dallas, we'll let you go first. Who are you thinking for offense?
Offense. I'm going to go with, so I always, maybe I've made this obvious at this point. I really try not to go Mark or Zay because that just feels like cheating. Although either one of them, I mean, clearly could get it every single game. Let's go one Yankee.
One Yankee.
One Yankee. I like it. One Yankee.
As in, hey, number Jack's one, not one of the...
Yeah,
let's go, Jaden.
Jackson had a hell of a game on Saturday, yeah, which we didn't really talk about too much, but he had a hell of a game.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. We are so spoiled, aren't we, right now? My God. I mean, we've got how many Seth, I thought about it. Seth says, I'm going with GFW. I considered it. Next year, every game, I'm just going to go with GFW. But it just, I don't know. I mean, guys can put up these ridiculous 100-yard performances, and we don't even bring it up because this team is so good. And I think there's been the sentiments kind of gone out there. And actually, Stig talked about it in the pregame show, if you guys ever listen, so there's the 2-hour pregame, right? There's like the 1 hour before with the guy from the studio where they need to turn his mic up. He does a great job, but he's too quiet. And then they have a Stig interview in that first hour. And Stig, who I will always, you know, forever listen to because he's my coach, just said, listen, this doesn't happen every year. Enjoy it. And I'm like, man, at the JI group, we've talked about this too. Who is it, Brendan or is, I forget who specifically said like, hey, you know, you get to, you always remember back and like, oh, I wish I knew the good old days when I went through them. Yeah. And it's like, God, these are the good old days. Enjoy this, damn it. Like this is as much, we watched our rival, you know, do 9 of 11 or whatever. That crap doesn't happen. That doesn't happen, right? Just enjoy this. This is amazing. This is awesome. End rant.
And we may never see anything like it the way it is with the.
Yeah, I mean, and not that I don't think we're gonna, not that I don't think we're gonna compete for a natty next year and the year after, because we absolutely are. But this team is ridiculous.
Ridiculous, yeah. And ridiculously special.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
So are we still doing game ball? Game balls.
Sorry, I had a soapbox there. Chad, my bad.
ADD. Chad, you know, I'm off.
Chad, talk about Culver's while we're here. Talk about Culver's.
Yeah, hey, man, Culver's the home of the Kurger Burger, which you can't get anymore right now, sadly. But you know what they do have, Matt?
That what
that guy like me likes?
Mushroom Swiss burger.
Custom. Oh, it's my favorite burger. Although, pro tip: get the mushroom and Swiss on the sourdough. It's way better. Yeah, okay. It's way better. But every day they got a different custard, right? So go get some custard. You can't look like me if you don't eat every day.
Chat, a question. This might be a really dumb question, so I should probably not ask it. Isn't a mushroom and Swiss on sourdough like a patty melt?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's not.
Can someone in the comments answer that? I don't know.
Does the patty melt have mushrooms on it?
I don't know. But Dallas, have you walked down the block to your Culver's and scored some Scoopy tokens lately?
I have not recently. We debated it last night, have not been there. God, it's been like a week and a half. That's a long time for the Clarkson household to not go to Culver's. But soon I'll be back.
Yeah, right. Goodness.
It's not no, low fat, which also, the pudding shots were the loft this week because Thanksgiving and none of the Walmarts in this side of town had regular Cool Whip. They only had reduced fat Cool Whip. And let me tell you,
I don't think it's near as tasty.
Anyway.
All right. So
onions.
Yep. Onions and rye. Yep. That's what I've messed up. All right. Sorry about that, everyone. Thanks for correcting me. I'm glad you guys are invested in this. So,
anyway, all right. Culver's handcrafting every meal fresh since 1984. Welcome to Delicious. Continue.
Well played. Love it. All right. The website,
yeah, offensive game ball.
Enough commercials. Offensive game ball. Well, okay. So Dallas took who he took, and he didn't take his normal guy.
Yeah.
But apparently, I'm one of GFW's parents' favorite JI guys. So
that's a load of crap.
It's a good chance for me. I said one of.
Okay, fine. Of.
All right. They came over and got some pudding shots. And, you know, Matt, you laugh so much. I'm not going to be able to. I'm not in diabetes medications. Well, hey, man, I'm already on the gout drug, so I put away that sweet tea, Kevin. Anyway, I'm a big Mason McCormick fan. You guys got to keep it together. I can't even focus, okay? I'm a big Mason McCormick fan, and he should get it, like, almost every game, but I'm giving it to GFW. Griffin freaking Wilde.
Nice. Matt, you're muted.
Sorry, I had to mute myself there. So, golly, communism. You know, I might go with Mason. I don't know, or Evan. There's some opportunities there. I'm going with Gus because he's going to own that nose tackle. Gus Miller.
That was a thought I had. Good
Gus Bus. I like it.
Gus Bus.
Yep. All right. Defensively, I am going with Tucker Large. he's going to come down with some picks in this one. So, large. Chad?
You didn't say who, so I was just waiting. Sorry.
You guys are so polite.
You know, it's been a long time. I don't know. I have a wrench in my hand. It's been a long time since I've picked number six on defense, so I'm going to go there. I want Savion. Give me Save.
Hey, was that him with the broken thing, the messed up fingers?
Oh, yeah, it was. Maybe
that Kyle posted.
A bad pick. Yeah, I don't.
He's tough. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's from South Central Minnesota. He's a badass.
They just tape two of them together.
Tape it up, rub some dirt on it. He'll be fine. Also, I tweeted about it, but he nailed that promo last week, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was so good.
No, yeah, that was great. Man.
Hell of a job. He has told him he's got a standing invite to join us because that was terrific. Dude can carry himself on camera. I tell you what, we talked about Zach Wilson. I'm going with Zach Wilson. Let's go. Breakout game.
There we go.
All righty.
All right. And a score prediction.
Dallas. Starting. No.
I know. Chad gets to go first because Chad hasn't gone
first. I went first this last time.
No, okay. You didn't. I did. Right. I said Tucker Large.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I can't count, I guess, to three. So I'm going with, I wanted to say originally the score of the last game, 35-21. But the more we talk, the more I think about it, the more open the middle of the field. Give me 42-21.
All right. Dallas, you want to go next or you want me to?
Nope. I'll go 35-6.
Ooh. Dang it. Again, we're always so close. I'm I'm at 35-13 is what I wrote down. So nice. Yeah. All right. Oh, okay. Jamal's going with Trevier. Okay. All right. This is fun. All right. Chad, have you got the bracket? Do you have the bracket up?
No, I don't. I can get it. Give me a hot second. Talk about something.
Okay. Yeah. So
I was going to say we could talk about just some of the picks here. You mentioned one of them, but in the comments, we got Freeman. We got a pick of Gales. Got a pick of Stallbird. Mm-hmm. What else are we missing? Offensively, I see Amar. Did I cover everybody?
A lot of 38-17, 37-14, 42-17, 38-17, 42-10. Like lots of different predictions there. So kind of all in the same ballpark for us.
Okay, here's an honest question that in any other circumstances with any other team would sound super disrespectful, but it's just an honest question. Do we see any meaningful two reps by the end of this game?
I don't think so. I do think there's enough talent on Villanova's
team. I'm with you. That means so much though to get guys playoff reps.
Oh,
last totally. Week. And I actually held off. I don't think I said it last week against Mercer because again, I didn't want to sound disrespectful, but, yeah, what an important thing to get some of those guys in and to get the number. I wonder how many reps the two offensive line got, because that to me is the most important piece of next year is starting to fold some of those other guys in, and they got a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that, you know, we talked about how huge for Chase Mason to get live reps against a first string defense,
yep.
You know, like that. That's awesome. Same with the offensive line. We got a lot of guys to replace on there. So just huge because that, you know, there's talent. There is talent there. Even if our first team did overmatch them, right? It's just guys are still playing tough. So, yeah. All right. This bracket. Villanova took care of Youngstown. We've talked about that a lot. We've talked about this game. So, Chad, you want to scroll down? All right. Albany over Richmond. 41-13. I think that was everyone was expecting, right? Albany's defense is really good. Richmond kind of felt like a team that was just kind of on a lottery ticket right now. And that's pretty much the score that everyone expected, right? So, or something similar.
Albany to me is the biggest question mark. I've watched some of them this year, heard about them all year, whether it's, you know, the different Fans Nations guys or whether it was Kevin, talked about them quite a bit. And I know they're a dangerous team, good defense. I just, again, it always comes down to the line play. And I to me, it's really tough to get a feel for that until you actually see it.
Yep, exactly. And we've mentioned this a couple different times, right? The CAA teams, like, we have a one or two game sample size now of tape to watch because we don't get to watch them because they're on flow. So, so yeah, that's this one with Albany versus Idaho. Funny story. So I watched the whole first half of the Idaho SIU game, started to watch the third quarter, apparently fell asleep. And then I woke up right before they kicked the field goal, the game winning field goal in overtime. And I was so confused because I thought SIU would get a chance, but obviously I had missed Nick Baker throwing an interception. And then I was also confused because SIU's kicker had to celebrate by himself, Chad, as you described. So what a weird thing. So good job, Idaho, somehow getting a win out of that.
I went to bed at halftime.
Yeah, I have no idea what to expect with this Idaho-Albany game, though.
Does anybody want to see Idaho in Brookings as bad as I do? Maybe Jimmy. Jimmy probably does.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some guys that do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they wear numbers with no names on their backs, but
I think the guys
might
want to see Albany come back. Yeah, right.
I would really like to see it. And my first thought when I turned that game on and watched Idaho versus the Missouri Valley team was, my goodness, we will eat their offensive line for lunch. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it'll take very long to do it. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Next game, Sac State at USD. Sac State's defense just didn't show up, right? Oh,
sorry. I watched 0 seconds of that.
Yeah. So, J.D. Barrett, you know, the host of the Scoop on Sports show, 9:10 a.m. in Brookings, he was watching it on his phone. And when they put Carson Camp in, it was kind of exciting because Camp drove him right down the field, scored a touchdown. And then the next play, USD tossed a 75-yard touchdown to Galbraith, their tight end. So, Sac State just didn't have the horses in that. And we've seen that before as we've played them. Kind of a, you know, West Coast, maybe not a finesse team, but they just don't have the horses to play all the time. So the punch at the end, we talked about this last week with Sac State, just looking like a team that was out of sorts, and being a little bit out of control. Their big running back, Fulcher, whatever his name is, throwing a punch at a USD player during handshakes. Stupid. Like, if I'm the AD, I give the head coach, I give you one more year, and if you can't clean up this extracurricular crap that keeps happening with Sac State, then he's gone, in my opinion. That just can't keep happening for a program. Is that too strong?
No, it's not. This isn't hockey. You can't do that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Especially in a handshake line of all places. Like, how less classy could you get?
Yeah. Yeah. And, as Jay Elson pointed out, the one person who was kind of breaking up the fight was Aiden Bauman without a helmet on. Like, the last person you really want right in the middle of a scuffle if you're a USD, because he is kind of your offense right now. So,
You're right. Good leadership then. I heard about it. I didn't watch it, but good for him.
Yeah. And then
on it too, like, why would you punch at someone wearing a helmet? That's just dumb. Unless it's going to be a body blow. Come on.
Yeah, all right. Oh, but not Nick Baker, because he's
not Nick Baker.
Shoulder pads and rib pads. No body blow there.
Rib pads, gut pad. Yeah,
anyway. Yeah. You know,
does he have a belly? No, like, the world may never know.
Right. He's so short. Is he really that worried about?
Is he done? By the way, is he? Is he done?
I don't know. He was there with Stone. He displaced Stone. He might have a super senior year yet.
But they keep talking about him being teammates with the Cox brothers, and they're both graduating, right? Yeah. They were high school teammates with the Cox brothers. So I don't know. This last game, right? Or not last game, but Montana State going down to NDSU in overtime with the Bozeman block, as they're calling it.
What a crazy game. That was nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, Montana State, their running quarterback system, both quarterbacks get hurt. Obviously, Malott, they're not 100% sure, right? I haven't heard yet if it's an ankle, knee, whatever it is. And then Chambers was pretty dinged up. That was evident. Big play late in the game. Chambers running down the sideline, has some room, but steps out of bounds. Just wild, right? Like this, I don't understand what they're doing. Obviously, the special teams, the kicker situation never got resolved for them this year. Two missed field goals during the game. And then obviously the Giant blocked extra point to end the game. Did not expect that as an ending. Just interesting, you know, the tackle, the offensive tackle that blocked it. He's in his fourth or fifth year up there. Pontius, I remember when they recruited him, the big thing was that he also played hockey. So this Giant 6'8 tackle that played hockey. But anyways.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. He's got a brother that plays at USD, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Did I read that?
And he hasn't done much in his career up there. He hasn't done much at all. But man, the guy's going to be a legend for this blocked extra point. if that's all he ever does, like that's pretty cool.
The NDSU cow's horseshoe lives on. It just something, always something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was the year that looked like they were the most fallible, and here they are in the playoffs making a run.
They were.
Their fans went from fire the coach, save the season to here we are again. Let's go. Yep, we're back. All the way to Frisco.
Yep. Yeah. We're just like Bama. We're back.
Oh, we were just kidding. We weren't making fun of our own team at all.
I didn't. And man, Montana State, you get the feeling they would just wasted a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but
because they're losing a fair number of guys this year too, like us. So, yeah. Furman and Chattanooga, I didn't watch a second of this one. Honestly, I haven't even looked at highlights. But Furman, everyone kind of expected to win, right? And
they did
and
win.
They took
me
care
money.
Of business.
Thank you, Furman.
They did. All right. Good job, Dallas. Good job.
This was my first. This was my first time betting on sports.
Youngstown money back, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I came out ahead overall, but I lost Youngstown. I lost money on.
Were you down in Louisville? Is that where?
Yeah,
you
I was. I was in Kentucky when they sports betting just got legal in Kentucky. Like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or a month ago or something. So, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say go back you were up? Getting lucky in Kentucky?
No.
go back up. We forgot to talk about USD NDSU. What do we think happens, guys?
Well, yeah.
In this one.
Oh. Can this be the one where the game like never ends and they both end up losing?
Or my favorite, I'm rooting for a giant meteor.
Pro meteor.
Giant
maybe they win. Maybe they turn the valve and flood the sewage treatment down there.
Hey, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but USD screwed up their ticket system again, and so NDSU ticket fans have been going in all day and buying tickets. That dome is going to be half green down there. Like gross. they're so stupid.
Gross.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I mean. That's not that far for how many fans NDSU has to go and buy out everything that wasn't already bought at the time they put them up.
Yeah, they've proven they've proven one thing: when they feel good about that team, they travel like a power five. Just about it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I North Dakota State's playing well. I don't know. I think.
Hard to be.
I got NDSU by at least a touchdown.
Yeah. I think Five Dimes already has the spread at like 6.5. I think I read. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm picking NDSU in this one too. I mean, I do think USD is going to get some yards. running the ball, passing the ball, whatever it's going to be. NDSU's defense still isn't fixed, but yeah.
The internet's going to melt down if that happens. Oof, yeah. I'm going to go with NDSU, the homeless furry cows, to win. If it's only 6.5, I'd take the points. I think they'll get that. They're going to go down there trying to prove something because USD was essentially the thorn in their side that, you know, broke the dam for their season. That's how they ended up losing a couple games they shouldn't have, so to speak. I mean, USD was one of the games that they shouldn't have lost. If you look at the second half of that game, USD just barely held on to win to that game. Yeah. So they had another 3-4 minutes. I think NDSU wins that game. So I think as much as I spot on,
they will be out for blood, no question.
Yeah. Yep.
And it would be best if they won on a last second Hail Mary where they got an extra second that didn't belong on the clock given to them. Yep. that would be great.
That sounds familiar.
And you know, pull up Ron's comment here. Can you really trust the Coyotes? And you can't yet, right? They don't have the playoff track record or history yet for anyone to truly believe in them. Like I'm guessing that's why the spread is the way it is with NDSU. I mean, there's just a lack of trust with USD because they haven't earned it yet. So
guess we can't trust them cats either. Anyway.
Yeah. Right. All right. Montana, Delaware on that. So we're all taking NDSU, right? Sounds like.
Yep.
Okay. So Montana, Delaware is the last game that we didn't recap. Montana did exactly what everyone kind of thought. And everyone predicted, you know, Brennan's prediction of choosing the worst possible week to announce that you're going FBS.
well,
right, you're heading out to Montana. So
to steal material from the splitting hairs guys, Kyle and Stacker. And there was a tweet from Delaware that had their guys out there shirtless before the game. And you knew the second you saw that crap, they were done. Yeah. And, yep. That was it.
Hey, teams from the South that come to play in the North, you're not proving anything other than you're going to lose by showing pictures that you practice in shirtless at some other field before you come to South Dakota, Montana State. It doesn't bode well.
You referenced it. They did it Mercer too, didn't they? That's right. I forgot about
Mercer
that one.
Mercer did it as well. They both did, so you're not wrong.
No, Mercer did it at home. That's right. But yeah, Delaware had one at Montana warming up was the one I saw.
Well, Mercer's was at Augie, where they took the picture down in Sioux Falls for their walkthrough and stuff. But it's funny because it's like we're not even going to worry about the cold, and so we're not worrying about it so much. We're going to take this picture without our shirts on to prove it. And so
prove we're not worrying about it. It doesn't bother us at all. We're not even thinking about it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm taking Montana over Furman in this one. Montana looks really good right now. I wasn't super impressed against them with Delaware, but there was a lot to do with the snow. I think personally quite a bit going on there with that snow that was early on in that game. So
I don't know if you saw my tweet, but it was a good thing they weren't playing Montana State because they would have said they brought the snow in to make the field be an advantage for them.
I missed that.
Too soon, Chad. Too soon.
No, not too soon. Soon enough. So the Mercer coach with no sleeves. Dude, big guys can go sleeveless. I can talk to this. Big dudes can go sleeveless in the cold. I can get on board with this.
Chad, you're very close. Chad, you could be one of those year-round shorts guys.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered that lifestyle?
400 pounds yet, but I'm getting there.
I never thought that. You could be a year-round shorts guy.
Guys that are year-round short guys are not what I would call athletic, and I'm still semi-athletic.
I think you're athletic.
For my size.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing we didn't talk about on this one was was Jackrabbit Central, right? And so there is a rumor out there that Jackrabbit Central will be honoring the Touchdown Tuesday on Tuesday. We don't know that for sure. So stay tuned to Twitter, Facebook, other social medias, and we'll post. If we see that they're having Touchdown Tuesday, we will make sure to repost it so you all can get some deals if you did not take advantage of the Black Friday special 30% off. 20, whatever it's going to be, is still going to be a good deal. So,
well, it would be 25, right? I mean, if we're,
yeah, 25. That. So, yeah,
but it was, yeah, 30. You're right. You're not wrong.
It was 30. So, just keep that in mind. We will post it. Someone messaged us saying that it was going to be, but we don't know for sure. We don't have confirmation from Jackrabbit Central yet. And you can do that in person at the downtown location or the on-campus student union location or online. Thanks, so, yeah.
Well, good show, fellas.
It was. We're getting called out for B-team style garage time here. So,
what? Garage time? What do we do?
Ron's calling it barn time, which I appreciate. I get the reference. Thank you, sir.
But one last plug quick. You know, again, Chad, Ben, Brendan, and the Hair Razor crew do a phenomenal job with the tailgating setup at the Jackrabbit Book Club. It's north of the library by the porta potties where the Alumni Association sets up. If you do not have a spot to tailgate, you just want to stop by and say hi, stop by and say hi. It's a ton of fun. So, show up.
And if you want to donate to Alex's lemonade stand in person, come on by, drop off your dollars, whatever. We won't say no to anything. And I'll give you a pudding shot one way or another, as long as there's some left. So
there we go. I don't know what happened. My screen just like zoomed way in. How do I zoom out, Chad? Help me.
Pinch the zoom. I don't know. What do you have going on there?
I don't know. This probably, is not good.
Is it a Windows machine or an Apple?
Yeah. Yeah, Windows. What happened?
Hit the control key.
And all right. Well, Matt has a boomer moment. Well, anything right. else we got to cover here?
Is this thing on? Can you hear me, guys?
What the hell happened? Huh? Weird. All right. Well, again, like, subscribe, share. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Over 100 people with us all night. Really appreciate you taking the time to listen to us. And come up and say hi. We love meeting new people. You know, at tailgating, at the game. Really appreciate you all. So with that, go big, go blue, go Jacks.